Perhaps you could turn with us now to the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, of course, and we're coming to the 26th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 26, and we'll begin to read at verse 1, and we'll read down as far as verse 9. Isaiah 26, and verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the peace may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city he layeth at low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Amen. We know the Lord himself will add his blessing onto the reading of his word. And with that word open before us, we'll bow together in a word of prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we come to thy word this evening. And what we have over the title of this particular 26th chapter in the book of Isaiah are these words, a hymn of praise. And in a day of despondency, in a day of depression, in a day of confusion and of consternation, then how appropriate it is that we come to a hymn of praise. We want to be that righteous nation that keeps the truth, that will enter in through the gates into the place where God dwells. We want, Lord, to feel the consciousness of thy presence amongst us tonight. We want to know the application of the Word of God, not just to Tom, Dick, and Harry, but to us, ourselves. A personal Word, not just one scattered across the airwaves, but really reaching little or no one, but one that is for me, one that is applicable to my circumstances, one that will help me, will give me hope in days when there is much hopelessness about. And Lord, we're conscious and having our workers out around many doors today, very conscious of the fact that parents of children, not at school today, but at home and learning by online and through parental guidance and help, parents are struggling. Parents are facing a mountain to climb. And many other people who have been isolated for a long, long time now have been climbing mountains maybe since last March and are wondering, where has the peak gone? Will we ever reach the top? And Lord, we pray that thy word tonight will be of real encouragement and of definite blessing unto our souls. May we be giving thanks unto thee even already in anticipation that thou art going to speak to my heart tonight. Answer our prayer, be with our country. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt buttress our NHS, that more funds will be available into the system that will be properly channeled and accurately and adequately used, that will help in this day and in days to come. We pray for those that are beleaguered, that have been in the front line, that are tired, exhausted, and maybe beyond that would be a proper term. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt hold them up for those that are suffering at this time. We pray that thou wilt give healing and give thy comfort and closeness and grace. And for all of the persons in our city. We pray that thou wilt come with blessing, with power, with saving strength, with thy righteousness, with pardon for sin, and with a peace that endures. Answer our prayer tonight, not for our much asking, not for anything to do with us, but for Jesus' sake, as we offer it all upon the terms and the wonderful atoning blood of Calvary. Come and answer our cry, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It may not surprise you if I were to tell you tonight our topic is going to be a promise. And over the week of prayer that we had recently in Martyrs, we considered a promise each night, Monday through Friday. And all of those meetings and messages, they're available on the internet, on Facebook, and on Sermon Audio at this moment in time. So we're coming to add to that tonight, and we're looking at another promise, and it is the promise of peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm. So we're looking at verse 3 of Isaiah and the chapter 26. There we read, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." That word stayed means sustained by thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is sustained by thee, because he trusteth in thee. The promise of peace in the middle of a storm. And I pray tonight that if you feel that's where I am, in the middle of a storm, that you will know that peace that comes in that situation. It may encourage you to know right from the off that the promise we're looking at tonight in Isaiah 26 was given by God during the darkest period in Israel's history. And that must mean it's invested with special grace and great help for us in the day in which we live today. We are surrounded by a lot of gloom, much depression, and we are constantly threatened by those three great enemies of doubt and fear and worry. And I'm sure you don't have to look too far to find the presence and the havoc caused by those three enemies. Maybe you say, I don't have to look too far because within the boundaries of my own home, I see all the evidence of that even at this moment in time. Those great enemies of doubt and fear and worry, they have become giants. They're large. They're foreboding. They're full of their terror, as far as I am concerned, in my life at this moment in time. Whenever days are easy and the skies are clear and there's not a cloud there in that sky, it's very easy to come to our text tonight, Isaiah 26 and verse 6, and to read it in a very surface-style manner, a very superficial way. But when the clouds of trial and disappointment and anxiety and danger begin to drift and form across our sky, whenever there's no sun that we can see in the sky and we go out and it's all gloomy and dark, these words become very precious to our hearts. There's no promise anywhere in God's word, and I'm sure you'll find it as you search it, that tells us that in our earthly bodies, here upon this earth, you'll have freedom from trouble, freedom from war, freedom from trial, no temptations, no tears, no anguish, no losses, no diseases, no bereavements. There's not a verse in the Bible that promises us that kind of scenario here, this side of eternity. All of that is on the other side. And if we are destined by the grace of God and through the atoning blood of Christ, if we are destined for heaven, then we're going to a land that will know all of that. The absence of all of these things, but this world is full of every kind of thing that I have mentioned a moment or two ago. But something far better is promised. And what we have here in our text tonight is the promise of perfect peace, even in the middle of all of these things. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. What value would freedom from trouble really be if we had still no inward peace? And yet it is possible, in the middle of the fiercest battle, when all of the clanging of the military gear is going on and the explosions are all around us and everything is caving in and walls are falling down, when the storm is at its height, the trusting soul can experience perfect peace, inward peace, that is a deep down settled calm in the soul and a quiet confidence that can happen. There's a verse in Isaiah 2. In fact, it's in the chapter 30, Isaiah chapter 30, and the verse 15. And we'll read that just on the way through tonight. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. That's what we're looking for. Lord, get me onto the ground where I can enjoy in my soul, down in the depths of it, in my mind as well, this perfect peace. First of all tonight, main point, we're looking at the character of this peace. The character of this peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. So we want to know, what is the tremendous blessing that's offered to us here? What is the nature, the character of this blessing? Well, you'll see right away it's described as perfect peace. But what is perfect peace? Can you describe that? Can you define that? Can you break that down, spell it out? It's a condition of freedom from disturbance within the soul. Freedom from disturbance within the soul. What is reigning within is perfect harmony. The Hebrew word here, shalom, peace, has in it the thought of soundness of health. So that to be filled with this perfect peace is to be spiritually healthy and free from every sign of discord within the soul. There's no room for jealousy, no room for envy, for discontent, for uncontrolled temper, for selfishness, for pride, for intolerance, for harshness of criticism, for fear or anxiety. There's no room for these things in the soul that is filled with perfect peace. All of these things I've mentioned, they are disturbances within the mind and disturbances within the heart. They bring us onto the minor key. They're discordant notes. But the peace which God offers and which we by his grace can experience, that peace is very practical. It's none other than a great calm. You remember maybe the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee, turbulence, a storm had driven up. They were in the mid of trial here, and they felt, we're going to die. This is the end. And yet our Lord, Mark 4 in the verse 39, peace, be still. And that storm subsided as suddenly, more quickly in fact, it subsided than it had been stirred up. That's the kind of peace that Jesus gives. Perfect peace. Now, in what sense is this peace perfect? How does it qualify for that description? Well, it's perfect in regard to its quality. The kind of peace that we are talking about, in its quality, it is perfect. Now, just let's think a moment or two here, because there is such a thing as an imperfect peace. And maybe when we begin to search and dig a little more deeply, we'll think, well, I have known that kind of imperfect peace on very many occasions in my life. There's the imperfect peace of ignorance. Of ignorance. Because we imagine everything's well. It's all going good. While in actual fact, it's not. If you were to go out tonight, or we were to go out from here and round to the front of the main building, we would be able to trace on those embossed words on our main metal doors at the very front of the building, we'd be able to trace out the words of Jeremiah 6 and the verse 14. And what that says is, you have false prophets, Old Testament times, you have them as well today, and their cry was this: peace, peace, when there is no peace. It was pseudo peace, false peace, fake peace that they were saying, because what was the problem? They were ignorant. They didn't realize what was happening. Their eyes were not tuned on the level and the waveband of truth. It was tuned rather onto error. And so in their ignorance, what they had was imperfect peace. There's also the imperfect peace, not only of ignorance, but the imperfect peace of stagnation. You'll see this a lot maybe at this time of year. Whenever there's a fairly calm day, but you're out there and maybe beside a lake or pool of water, and the pool is calm and peaceful, there's no movement on the surface of the water, but underneath it's foul and green with slime and all kinds of murky material and even poisonous stuff in there. Many men and women only know a peace like that. It seems smooth and calm on the surface, but underneath is all of the foulness of sin and iniquity. Their heart is not right with God. They don't have the peace of God within their heart. And it's the imperfect peace they think they have, but it's peace of stagnation. And Isaiah 57:14 tells us, the wicked are like the troubled sea, and it won't be long until that sea is stirred up and all of the foul material is coming out. Then also there's the imperfect peace of dependence. The imperfect peace of dependence. We've thought of, that's the third imperfect peace. Ignorance, stagnation, dependence. And I've known people in the past, and they have been leaning on other members maybe within the family. And they have been looking to them as their crutch as they make their way through life, and they're leaning on them and they're depending on them, and all their eggs are in that basket. But you know what happens then? Health begins to fail. Maybe that person lets you down, or that person is taken away in death. Where then will your peace be? Because it's an imperfect peace of dependence. But in contrast with these, God's peace is perfect. And that is what you and I need, and nothing else. Perfect in terms of its quality. Perfect as well in terms of its quantity. That is to say, the supply of it is sufficient. And it meets our need exactly. It's like getting a plaster. And maybe the plaster's too small, and it doesn't even cover the wounded part. But then we get a bigger plaster, and it covers it all, and it protects it from any other foreign body coming in, and filth and dirt and all the rest of it. Can't now get in because the plaster has covered the totality of the wound. And that's the way God's supply of peace is. It exactly meets our need. Doesn't come halfway. Doesn't cover a part of our need. It covers the totality of our need. If you have a margin in your Bible and you check out the words perfect peace there, you'll find it's rendered as peace and then another peace. Two together. Peace, peace, that is double peace. And you'll find the real significance of all of that when you turn into the New Testament, to the book of Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 7. For there we read, the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through or in Christ Jesus. It's peace of the heart and it's peace of the mind. And that's the kind of peace you and I need. A peace that keeps, a peace that garrisons our mind and that calms our heart. And today, aren't our minds straying all over the place? bombarded with 1,000 negative thoughts. Every news bulletin we hear, it's almost always negative, and stirs up the giants of doubt and fear and worry all along the courts. What we need is fortification for our mind and for our heart as well. And that's the peace. God promises, it's in me. I give that to you. It will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And this peace, 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 it's double peace in another sense. And the other sense in which it is double peace is, it is peace with God. We can look up Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Romans 8 and 1 as well. Those who are at peace with God in Romans 5 and 1, they have peace with Him and also the peace of God that we've mentioned in Philippians 4 and verse 7. And we can never know the peace of God until we know peace with God. People who are unsaved don't have this peace with God because they don't have forgiveness of sins. They haven't come by the way of the cross. They haven't fallen down before Him in repentance and faith and looked on their sin as a foul, heaving mass and looked to Christ as a beautiful, wonderful Savior, the answer to their sin, the atonement, the covering for all of their iniquity. And so you need to get to the cross. You need to come to Christ. You need to cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, to know that peace with God, and then you'll know the peace of God flooding your heart and flooding your life. It's perfect peace in terms of its quality, in terms of its quantity, and also it's perfect peace in terms of its constancy. I'm saying here it's permanent, not intermittent. The promise, what does it say? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Not give him a little bit of peace today and just shatter it, pull the mat from under his feet and reduce him to all kinds of fears and worries and anxieties and concerns the very next moment. Thou wilt keep perfect in quality, in quantity, in constancy. And so that's the character of this peace. Then secondly tonight, the conduit. We need a channel for the peace to come and flow to us. What is that conduit for this peace? How does it come to us? It comes by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 and 7 again, we'll refer to that text once more that Paul wrote. And he's saying he will keep our hearts and minds through or in Christ Jesus. He is the source. He's the source from whom the peace of God flows into our soul. This peace, again I emphasize, is the possession of the Christian alone. If you don't have Christ, if He's not your Savior, if you're not resting on Him alone for salvation and His finished work on that cross, you'll not know this peace. It's the blood of Christ that whispers peace within. As the old hymn writer said, peace, perfect peace in this old world of sin. How am I ever going to have that? The answer, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. The conduit for this peace, how does it come? By Christ Jesus. How does it come? Ask the question again. Another answer, by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus purchased peace for us on that cross of Calvary. That peace is offered to us by Him as its source, but it's conveyed to our hearts, conveyed to our minds by the Holy Spirit. And you can check that out in Philippians 5 and verse 22, because you will find one of the fruits of the Spirit that He produces in the life of the Christian is this very thing, peace. And as the Holy Spirit fills and floods our lives, so he dispenses and he develops this wonderful fruit within us, the fruit of peace. How does it come to us? By Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, by his word is another correct answer to that question. How does it come to us? By his word. In Psalm 119, the psalm about the word is mentioned in every verse, and the verse 165, it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law. It comes by the word. It adds there, did you notice, nothing shall offend them? You can read for that, nothing shall disturb them, because it means the very same thing. How often things disturb us? How often people agitate us? But here's a promise of perfect peace. Who to? To the people who love, who meditate upon, and who obey the word of God. Peace comes, how? Through this conduit, by Christ Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, by his word, and also by our obedience, by our obedience. We're turning away back to an often neglected book of the Bible. It's Leviticus and the chapter 26 of Leviticus. And we're reading at verse 3, and we're going down to the verse 6 of Leviticus chapter 26, which says, notice how it begins, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely, and here it comes, I will give peace in the land. And ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Isn't that an appropriate text for the circumstances that we find ourselves in today? How we long, whenever the evil beasts are roaring about and roaming through it, and the sword is scything on every side, and disease is cutting people down, I belong to reach this very position that Leviticus 26:6 talks about. I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. But notice it's all dependent on that if in verse 3, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. So therefore, here's what we're saying, the conduit for this peace, by Christ Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, by his word, by, and here's where it becomes personal, by our obedience. By our obedience, if ye will. And also, and this is the fifth answer and the final one for what is the conduit of this peace? How does it come our way? By, let me put it like this, plenty of prayer and praise. By plenty of prayer and praise. And if you would check back, we're not taking time to do that tonight, but if you would check back to Philippians 4 and 7, where we have peace in the mind and peace in the heart through Christ Jesus, what comes into that verse? What feeds down into it? We are to be praying before the Lord. We are to be lifting our petitions before him. That's what all of verse 6 is about. In Philippians 4 and the verse 6, that we are to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that follows, that flows through after plenty of prayer and plenty of praise. So we have the character of this peace, the conduit for this peace, and then finally we have, and briefly, the conditions in this peace, the conditions in this peace. In our text tonight, Isaiah 26 and verse 3, you will see two conditions. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. What's the condition? One, whose mind is stayed on thee. Second, because he trusteth in thee. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Both of those conditions point down the road of faith. Whose mind is stayed on thee, who trusteth in thee. But you know, one of them is a hand word, and the other one is a heart word. What's the difference? With our head, we believe that God is the author of our peace. God is the giver of our peace. With our head, we believe that God is able and willing to give us peace. He's able to do this because he is the God of peace. We believe that with our head. Our mind is stayed on thee. But here's the heart word, who trusteth in thee. And having believed it in the head, God can give me peace. He is the author of peace. Then with the heart, we come forward, we embrace him, we trust him to do it, and we receive his peace by faith. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. As we conclude tonight, let me just draw one point further to your attention. I think it's vital. Did you notice this verse in our English translation? Begins, Isaiah 26 verse 3, begins with God and ends with God. First word, what is it in our English version? Thou. That's God. Thou will keep him. What's the final verse? The final word in the verse? Because he trusteth in thee. That's God as well. He's at the beginning. He's at the end in this one text alone. Isaiah 26 and the verse 3 begins with thou, ends with thee, and the trusting soul goes in between. Perfect peace is by faith. To get between these two words, thou and thee, and stay there. Perfect peace is the Lord himself within us. Not some kind of an airy-fairy experience that takes us up into the clouds for a while, makes us feel better for a time. Not even some code of belief, not in it. It is the Lord himself. That's why the hymn writer said, stead upon Jehovah. Hearts are truly blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. That's where I want to be tonight, between the thou and the thee. To be the trusting soul that is right in there and staying there. Perfect peace. The Lord himself living within us, spreading abroad his peace within our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And notice, not just at the beginning, not just at the end, but in the middle too, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's the promise of peace in the middle of our storm. And I pray that as you are going through the storm and feeling all the anguish and knowing these giants appear, of doubt and of fear and of that paralyzing terror as well that comes, that great giant of worry, that you will find perfect peace in Christ this very night. We did say at the beginning we're going to show a video, and we will do that in a moment. We'll pray first, and then what the video consists of is a brief, I said 2-minute video clip, and that's what it is, of some of our most recent lockdown outreach here from the Martyrs Memorial Church in Belfast. And that outreach is going out to all the families who attend our Reach and Explore clubs and also our 2 Sunday schools. And you can see the kind of provisions that are going out. But don't be just focusing on the boxes of whatever cornflakes and the cake and whatever else is there. And you'll see some of the items there. But there is good gospel material going into all of these homes. And we're coming up on servicing 100 homes. But we'll pray first, and then the video will be played. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word tonight. We praise thee for the promise of thy truth. Where would we be without thee? As the hymn writer said, where could I go but to the Lord? And we pray that we will be found as those who will be kept in perfect peace, because our mind, it is trusting in thee. Help us to rest upon the Lord Jehovah. The next verse in Isaiah 26. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, and that strength brings us peace in the middle of our storm. Do it for all who listen in tonight. May they know thy great mercy, thy grace, and thy perfect peace. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. We thank thee for that. May we continually enjoy it. For Jesus' sake. Amen.